appreciate Keith filling in for me last week. It seemed like I've been gone forever. I started to introduce myself when I got up here. it's a little bit tough, and I took the flu shot. So, but anyway, the Lord's seen fit for me to make it back, so we're going to try to, Lord willing, study God's Word together some this morning. But I do appreciate your being here with us today. And look at your bulletin so you can know those things that's going on. I hadn't talked with Brother Billy, so I don't know what his plans are today. Anyway, we will be in John, the third chapter. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, that's where we'll be studying together. I appreciate your prayers and your phone calls and the cards and those things while I was out of commission. But most important thing is the prayers. So I do greatly appreciate those. Nothing like a church family. So if you bow with me, then we'll try to look at our study together today. Lord, again today, we come to you with thankful hearts. Lord, thanking you that you love us and watch over and care for us, such as you do. And we thank you for each one who's gathered with us today. And we ask now that as we open your precious word, that the Holy Spirit would feed us from it today, that we can know more about your precious word when we leave than when we came. We'd be better equipped to live this Christian life that you have asked us to live and see the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit in life. Lord, I thank you for each one who's present. Ask your blessings upon them as we study together, those both here and by way of internet. Lord, so many blessings, so much to be thankful for. And we humbly thank you this day. But most of all, we thank you for the saving grace through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. In John, the third chapter, y'all remember a fellow named Nicodemus? We'll talk about Nicodemus a little bit today as we continue to look at the work of the Holy Spirit in an individual's life. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to look at Nicodemus down to about the fourth or fifth verse, and then we're going to sit him over on the pew along with us, and then we're going to look at we ourselves along with Nicodemus, and Lord willing, then we're going to pick Nicodemus back up off the pew and talk about ourselves again. Now, if we look in St. John, third chapter, and verse number one, there was a man. There was an individual. There was a person. And he was a man of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus. And he was a ruler of the Jews. So he had some authority also. And it says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man being born when he is old, come he in a second time into the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, I want to look at Nicodemus a little bit before we go any farther in this and point out a few things for you as we go. Now it says Nicodemus came to Jesus. We'll think about that for a minute. Now Nicodemus came to Jesus. And when did he come to Jesus? He said he came to Jesus by night. We know Nicodemus came because he didn't want to be seen, but there's something else that we can see into that too. When you and I came to Jesus, we came in darkness. With all in our sins and undone. But now, look at the rest of this verse with me. And he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these things or these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, none of us have ever seen Christ. Nicodemus had seen him with his eyes. And because of what he had seen, Nicodemus is now interested in this person called Christ that he has seen. But now, there's another little word in this verse that I want us to look at. He said he came a night and he said, Rabbi. And of course, when he says Rabbi, that's a Jewish teacher or scholar, one that teaches the law and religion. But he says Rabbi, and then what's the next word in that verse? We know. We know. Well, why is we not with him then? Why is Nicodemus by himself? What do we see in this thing of Nicodemus? The rest of them that were doing, he says, they know, like I know, we know that you are a teacher. You are something different. And that you cannot do these miracles that you are doing except God be with you. So he has seen something different in this man called Christ. Well, there's two things I want us to look at here this morning as we look at this. Keith, I forgot to tell you, thank you for filling in for me last Sunday, but I apologize for that. But there's two things I want you to look at here now. Nicodemus comes by himself. What's significant? It's a one-on-one with you in Christ. It's a one-on-one with me in Christ. The we around us is not what matters when the Holy Spirit's at work. It's you and Christ. You and Christ. He said the rest of them know about you. But something now has drawn Nicodemus to Christ. And that he has seen in Nicodemus, that Nicodemus has seen in Christ, is greater than anything he's ever seen in a man walking on this earth. So there's something special about this man called Christ. So he comes and questions him, knowing that he's a teacher. Now, as we go through the process of service today, hope and pray always that the Holy Spirit does the work. Nicodemus came by night. Letting somebody be sitting right beside you and the Holy Spirit can be drawing like everything. Working with the heart. And you have no clue that it's taking place. Absolutely no clue. Nicodemus came in night. Nobody else could see what was taking place. It was between him and Christ. And the we's are not with him. It's a personal thing. It's a one-on-one thing. And here we see that Nicodemus had been drawn to Christ. Like one day, you and I, in the darkness of our sin and the lostness of our soul, we came to Christ. We were drawn to Christ. Our drawing is done by the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus had seen the miracles that Christ performed and knew there was something different. But the drawing was Christ himself who drew Nicodemus to him. And Jesus said unto him in verse number 3, verily, verily, surely, surely, emphasis, notice it's two very, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what kind of situation does that put Nicodemus in? I don't believe there's a single solitary one of us in here that can be physically born again, can we? So what with Nicodemus, what do we see here? Christ has just looked at Nicodemus and told him something that is totally impossible for Nicodemus to do. And when it comes to your and my salvation, it's totally impossible for us to provide our own salvation. There's absolutely nothing that we can do. It's impossible for Nicodemus to do this. Now, I want you to look at these next few verses for just a moment. He said, except a man, in other words, he must, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in the mother's womb and be born? And what's the answer to that? No. That's impossible. That can't happen. Well, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. No, that's impossible, Christ. Jesus, you know I can't do that. Notice the conversation. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the flesh, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So now in these verses that we've seen this morning, what have we seen three times? Except a man be born again. Except a man be born again. Except a man be born again. Christ has said that to Nicodemus three times. The same explanation, same answer to his question. You got to be born again. So where does that put Nicodemus? That puts Nicodemus in an impossible situation. Let's sit Nicodemus over here on the pew a minute. And let's sit you and I down over here with Nicodemus on the pew for just a moment. And then let's begin to look at you and I. Are we in the same situation as Nicodemus? Where were you before you come to know Christ as Savior? You were just like Nicodemus. Nicodemus is an impossible situation according to what Christ had just said. He cannot do what Christ has just required for him to know Christ. But let's look at a few things this morning. And let's think about man for just a little bit. I want you to go with me, if you will, over to 1 Timothy. And let me read a verse to you. We're going to go to 1 Timothy in chapter number 5. I want to read verse number 6. And then we'll talk about this verse for just a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead. What? While she liveth. We'll read that to you again. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse number 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead. What is she living in? She's living in pleasure. She's living in sin. She's living in the world just like you and I, just like Nicodemus before Christ entered the picture. But it says here, but she's living and she's also dead. How in the world can that be? Well, let's look at a thing or two. Let's go to the book of Romans. Read a few verses in a few places. Chapter number 3, in Romans chapter number 3. Put ourselves in positions, see where we are. Chapter number 3 and verse number 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come what? And come short of the glory of God. So all have sinned. So you and I are born in sin. Nicodemus was born in sin. Now to have a right relationship with God, something has got to take place in your life, my life, and Nicodemus' life to bring us to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, while you're there in the third chapter, in verse number 10 in that third chapter, he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So we've all sinned. There's no righteousness in us. All of us are sinners. So how is it that you and I are going to be brought in a position that we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ? How is Nicodemus going to be brought to a relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, over in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 14, but the natural man, that's you and I, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know him, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, what can the natural man know? He said, the natural man receiveth not things of the Spirit of God. He's not in a position to know or receive them. He's dead. Dead man can't do much, can he? You say, wait a minute. Well, now let's go back and examine that for just a moment. What did we read a while ago in 1 Timothy? It said she was alive, yet she was what? Alive, yet she was dead. You and I, as a natural man, when we're born what? We're born alive. We're alive. Okay? Now we're looking at it from the physical realm now. We're alive. And a person that's not saved, a natural man, let me ask you a question. Do they have the ability to love? Do they have the ability to be moral? Do they have the ability to be kind and compassionate and caring, but not righteous? Do you think that everybody that gives to the children's hospital is only a saved person? I'll guarantee you people give money to that children's hospital that are not saved. A natural man has the ability. How do we know a natural man has ability? There's a whole lot of unsaved men and unsaved women that are married that love each other and love each other tremendously. So we have that ability. But in that, there is no spiritual life. There is no righteousness. There is absolutely not one grain of righteousness in any person other than through and by Jesus Christ. He says there are none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So where does that put you and I and mankind? We're in the same situation that Nicodemus was. And we can do just as much, he says, except a man be born again. Nicodemus said, that's impossible for me. I cannot do that. Well, the same thing applies to you and I in this dispensation of grace. We must be born again. The old man must be brought to life. The old man is dead in trespasses and sin. The natural man has the ability to live, and the natural man has the ability to do a lot of things. But the natural man has no ability to do anything that pleases God. So let's go back here to John just a minute now. And I told you to remember some verses, kind of our memory verses as we've gone along. So I want to refresh your memory again. I have to do mine real often because I can't remember beyond my nose anymore. But let's go back to the 6th chapter of John for just a moment. In verse number 43 in John chapter number 6. Jesus therefore answered and said unto him, murmur not among yourselves. Christ knows what is going on. If you didn't know it, he can read your mind. You don't have to say it. So you better you say, watch what you say. You better watch what you think when it comes to the Lord. Now, in verse number 44, what is the first word in that verse? Y'all asleep? I didn't hear you. I can't hear you. You're going to have to say it loud. No. No what? No man. Where does that put us? We're sitting over here with Nicodemus. And so no man can. No man has the ability. It cannot happen. You know, it says, no man can come to me except the Father. Who is the Father? We know that that's God. And Christ is talking to these who are murmuring and saying, I'm telling you that there's not a single solitary one of you that can come to God the Father but one way. No man can come to the Father except, and no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, do what? Draw him. Keep that in mind. And then he says, when that takes place, then there's ability to do something else. And I will rise him up at the last day. But for the rising to take place, there's got to be some drawing done. And the only way that the drawing's going to be done is going to be by the Father. And it's going to be drawing to you and I. It's going to be drawing us to something and somebody. And that somebody that it's going to draw us to is going to be Jesus Christ, God's Son, because he's the only way of salvation. So if that's going to be done by the Father, how does the Father do it? A lot of questions. Flip over to chapter number 14. Verse number 6. Thomas is questioning Christ. Christ has said that he had prepared a place. He's going, and where he goes, he won't see him to go. Verse number 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus answered him. And Jesus said unto him, I am the what? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to read 44 to you again now in chapter number 6. And I want you to listen to this carefully again. No man can come to me, and that is Jesus, okay, except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So he will say that no, Christ says, no man can come to me, Christ, without the Father. Then we go over here, and Jesus says that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man can come unto the who? To the Father. But what? But by me. Now, I want you to notice something in this particular verse. Each and every one of us, according to God's word, it says we are dead. We are what? We are dead in what? In trespasses and sin. Now, look at this verse in 14:6, what Jesus has just said. He says, number one, I'm the way. The way. The only way. I am the truth. The only truth. The total truth. Then he says, I am the what? Life. So you and I, as a dead man in our sins, that have no spiritual life, none whatsoever, we have got to be drawn to Christ and drawn to God the Father. And how is that going to be accomplished? How can that be accomplished? Because we're dead. Not totally dead. We're spiritually dead. We have the ability to see. We have the ability to hear. We have a mind that God blessed us to work with. So that means that God can send His precious Holy Spirit and give us the ability to tune in to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Never lost you. In this same book of John in chapter number 4, let me read you another verse. Verse number 23. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Now we need to let this verse soak in for just a moment. Now what's Christ saying? He said, the hour cometh and now is. For what? When the true worshiper. Now, who's the true worshiper? You and I who've been saved by the marvelous grace of God. And he says, the true worshiper shall worship the Father. What's the next word? In. The only way that you and I have any ability whatsoever to worship God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son, is in and through and by the Spirit of the Almighty God, and it can be done and accomplished no other way. He says, you worship in spirit and in truth. Now, I want you to know spirit comes first and truth comes second. What is this? This is the truth of God. This is the Word of God. And you'll never understand not one single solitary word in this Bible until the Spirit has come into you. And then you can understand the truths of God's Word, because the Holy Spirit will open it up to you as you study, read it, and listen to it. But the Spirit comes first, and the truth comes second. It also says that He gives us life, too, and we obtain eternal life. We're going to move back to the third chapter of John, and we're going to pick Nicodemus up again, and we're going to look at him for just a moment. But he says the hour's here that we're worshiping spirit and in truth. And notice in that verse he says, for the Father does what? Seeketh. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. I don't know where you've realized or not, but you didn't go looking the Father. The Father come looking you. And God says, I seek such to worship me. those who have been born by the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. Back to John again in chapter number 3. Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Nicodemus, that's impossible. Christ, you know I can't do that. All right, let's look and see what Christ says then. In verse number 5, now Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again. Is that what it says here? No, it says, except a man be born of what? Water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You're born physically of the water. Ladies in here who've had children and water breaks, what's going to happen pretty quick? Something's coming. And it ain't going to be long. We're born physically. But, he said, and of the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. So what do we see? We see in this verse, we see two births. We see a physical birth and a spiritual birth. And if you and I are ever going to see the face of God Almighty, it's going to be because we have been born again. We have been born spiritually. Lord, how in the world can that take place? Then he says, verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is what? It's flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. So what do we see in that verse? We see two births. We see a physical birth and a spiritual birth. So in you and I, when we are saved by the marvelous grace of God, now we've got two of us. There's two in us. There's an old man and there's a born again spiritual man abiding in us. And boy, that brings on warfare. Yeah, so that brings on warfare. He said, marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now that has been mentioned many times already in these few verses, has it not? Okay. Now I want you to look at verse number 8. And the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is what? Born of the Spirit. Now, around each and every one of us that are sitting in this auditorium this morning is air. How do you know? How do you know there's air in this place? You can't see it. But if you take something and you do this, what do you know? There's air in this place. Must be because I can feel it moving. That's what happened to you one day. And I hope it's happened to you a whole lot since that day. Because one day, you did not see anything. But all of a sudden, you felt something. And that you felt, you could also hear. You know, if we sit here real quiet, you can hear the air moving through the duct system in this building. You can hear its presence. And one day, you and I, with a physical ear, God bless us with a physical mind that God blessed us with, and a physical man that has no ability to understand the things of God, begin to let us feel the Holy Spirit as it began to work on our hearts and chisel away the old hard heart. And see ourselves as a sinner, lost and damned and dead in trespasses and sin, and on a way to an eternal hell. And it began, that Holy Spirit, God says, unless I draw him. So God sent his precious Holy Spirit, and he began to work in your heart, like he worked in my heart. And all of a sudden, he revealed himself to me as the one who could birth me again, as the one that could do what I cannot do, as the one that can do what's impossible for me to do. And without the work of the Holy Spirit and the saving grace of the Almighty God, you're going to die in your sins and go burn in hell. But he says you can be born again if you listen to the sweet, small voice of the Holy Spirit of God that says all you got to do is by faith believe that I paid the price for. And believe that I can birth you again and you can be spiritually born. Nicodemus, you must be born again. I got 1 minute. Nicodemus answered and said in verse number 9, how can these things be? And Jesus says unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You're a smart dude and you don't know these things. I tell you, the natural man cannot know the things of God. I don't care what kind of degree you got hung on your name. It don't make any difference. In fact, the business of that degree will run you farther away from God if you're not careful. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know and testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I had told you earth things and ye believe not, how then shall ye believe? But I tell you heavenly things. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. He says, as Moses was lifted up as a serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever, my time's gone. Whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're going to talk more, Lord willing, about the Holy Spirit and work with the Holy Spirit next Sunday. God bless you and thank you for being here today.